Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Brainwaves, hear the world differently. Bringing community mental health to you, raising awareness and challenging stigma. Tune in to 3CR Community Radio, Wednesdays at 5 p.m.
Melbourne's Drive Time Radio program, featuring community organisations, powerful stories and information. Find us at brainwaves.org.au. Proudly sponsored by Wellways Australia.
I would like to begin by paying my respects to the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which I am coming to you from today. Land where at Brainwaves we tell our stories, and land where the traditional custodians have told their stories for many, many years before us, and continue to tell their stories. I would like to pay my respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners who are listening today.
Hello and welcome to Brainwaves on 3CR, 855 AM on your dial via the app or the live stream. My name is Flick Manning, your host, and today I'm joined by a voice, face and name in Australian broadcasting and journalism I'm pretty sure you'll be familiar with. He's hosted Australian Idol, The Masked Singer and The Bachelors, to name a few, and a popular podcast called Better Than Yesterday, countless radio shows, and he's also a best-selling author, an award-winning documentarian and a proud mental health advocate. Formerly known as Andrew G, I am thrilled to have the incredible Osha Gunsberg with us. Osha, welcome to the show.
Flick, thanks for having me. It's lovely to be here on 3CR.
Love it.
Which I'm going to guess the CR stands for Community Radio, but I
think you could be right. I think I you could go be right, to, Osha.
I want to commencing rehab. That's what we could also call it.
We could. Why not? Why not? Let's throw it all into the mix. So, Osha, I always ask the same question to my guests as soon as they land, and I'm going to ask you the same one because I think Sure. Everyone's got a unique answer to this. What does the term mental health mean to you?
It's just a different prefix to the word health. You know, there's physical health, there's heart health, there's kidney health, there's gut health. There's foot health, there's mouth health, there's eye health, there's pool water health, there's market health, there's mental health. All right? It's just another word. It sometimes gets separated from the rest of the other parts of the way we think about health, but it's mental health is just health. And like it or not, we are a closed system, and sometimes your physical health can impact your mental health, and sometimes your mental health can impact your physical health. And it's important to understand that there's a link there, not like it's linked together, like if you put your crystals out in the moonlight and wear a linen shirt and, you know, call yourself Wolfblane, you know, no, there's a link there. For example, in my case, you know, let's get oversharing. When I'm very stressed, I get gnarly psoriasis, all right? And so there's a physical symptom, but it comes from no external factor other than the amount of stress I'm under or how much of a shit job I'm doing at not down-regulating and looking after my own stress levels. The two are linked.
Love that answer and appreciate the candor as well. I think that's so true. A lot of people maybe miss the signals that they're experiencing mental health because they're actually just looking at the physical health manifestations of it, not necessarily seeing it.
It's also to say, because I got asked on radio the other day, also tell us about the mental health. It's like, you wouldn't say tell us about the prostate health. It's, experiencing episodes of, poor mental health or episodes of, mental ill health or, I'm going through a great period, It's mm-hmm. we got to talk about it, grammatically correct fashion.
I completely agree with you. So what made you decide to create a more picture-based book for the particular theme, So What, Now What? It's your new book that's come out. It's a different approach and I'm really curious about it.
You've got a copy. I'm so happy you got a copy.
Oh, I've read it back to back.
Oh, I'm so happy. It took you 45 minutes?
Yeah, about that. But it made me think about my own life, and I appreciate that.
Well, that's why I wanted to do it. I wrote So What, Now What, my new book, because it's the book I couldn't find when I was not doing well, when I was going through a period of mental ill health. In fact, terrible, terrible mental ill health. Mm-hmm. I was on all kinds of medication. I was on antipsychotics and all kinds of stuff, and I was going through a lot of very traumatic stuff. And I wish I had this book around. It's the stuff that I found from the talk therapy that I was doing at the time, because meds are one thing, but meds don't make it go away. Meds just help you do the work a little easier. And so this book is a bit of a, you know, a collection of some of the most useful things I've found during the talk therapy and the practices that I put in place and still do, which helped me get a lot better. Now, if this book wasn't illustrated, it would be 950 pages long. And we all know that when you're going through a difficult time, you don't have the time for that. You might not even remember what, you know, to shower that day. And I've certainly been there. So I also want it to not look like it does what it does, which has been terrible for sales, but you really only get one shot. You know, if you're dealing with someone who is going through a difficult time, I know this for a fact, the only stigma that ever really affected me was self-stigma. I did not want to be someone that needed help, and I didn't want to be someone that another person would think needed help. So, oh no, I'm fine. You know, I would write things off a lot when people asked me. So if I had been handed a book that says, how to not be terrible, you know, you're feeling awful, how to not feel awful, I probably wouldn't have gone, no, I don't need that. So I wanted to be sure that it didn't look like that. It was a bit of a Trojan horse, in fact. And it's not until you get a couple of pages in that you go, oh, hang on a second here, which I'm grateful for. But by then, hopefully there's enough in there that can resonate with people, because it's very deliberately a conversation. The book I wrote is a conversation between the thinking mind and the observing mind, because we're ancient creatures and we have three different brain systems at least. And one of our minds can think about, you know, one of our minds can do this dumb thing, and then another one of our minds can think about, as we're doing this dumb thing, I don't know if this is a good idea. And these two minds often have a bit of an argument, because the one that doesn't really have much impulse control is actually a little more powerful sometimes when it comes to getting us to do things. And so we have to ride out a lot of very powerful feelings in our body while we're trying to think about the things that we're doing or have done. And so I wanted to put a voice to that and to let people know. Now, I know what it's like to be in my own head when a doctor's telling me something, because in my own head, they're going, and you really want to think about when your wife tells you this, she's using feelings, and it's important you address the feelings and not the words. And in my brain, I'm like, what do you know? And I'm going, yeah, I guess you're right. You know, so I know what it's like. And I thought that was important to put in the book.
I really love the approach. I mean, it sort of takes me back, I think, you know, my own mental health diagnoses and things started in my teen years and coincided with chronic health and chronic pain conditions. And absolutely, I think if this book had been around at that time, it's something that I would have found as a much easier way to digest what I was going through, rather than some of the big, you know, 350-page textbooks that I was given, which at the time I simply didn't have the capacity to even concentrate, you know, beyond my own thoughts. So this is a very accessible way that you've approached it, and my hat's off to you for that, because it's hard to actually take this kind of subject matter and turn it into something digestible, and I really appreciate that you've done that for everybody. Oh,
thank you. And I'm, you know, a lot of this goes to, yes, the choice to do an illustrated book was my choice, and my choice of artist was my choice, but that artist is a genius at this kind of stuff. Campbell Walker, also known as Struthless, illustrated the book. And he is very, very sharp in this space. And when it came to illustrating metaphors around thinking mind, observing mind, or negative thoughts and feelings and things like that, Cam's visualizations based off the sketches I was giving him, he just took things to an entirely different level. So, it's 64 pages of memes about mental health.
That's a great way of putting it. And I hope that everyone listening obviously goes out and grabs a copy, because the visuals are absolutely incredible. Struthless is so iconic for a start. Yeah. So it's something that I think you should want to have on your bookshelf or on your coffee table, even just from that perspective. But then, as you said, the Trojan horse is that you're delivering something incredibly powerful with it too, which is just super cool. We're just going to head to a break.
Excellent.
If you're just tuning in, this is Brainwaves on 3CR. My name is Flick Manning, and today I'm joined by Aussie icon, Osher Gunsberg.
Icon.
And you immediately laugh at that, don't you? You don't like being called an icon, I get the feeling.
Oh, I don't know. I think the idea of icon, it comes with some sort of, I certainly don't feel like it. you know, my bank balance certainly doesn't reflect that. but, you know, I guess I'll take it. If it allows me to have a bit of familiarity when I'm trying to have a conversation about stuff I feel is important, then I guess I'll take it.
Well, I think that one way or the another, we've all kind of brandished you with that because you've been gracing our screens and our airwaves for so long and we're so familiar with you. And now we've been talking about your new book, So What, Now What? And I really wanted to talk to you about the so what part of that title. Mm-hmm. That can be a particularly tricky question to pose to yourself in amidst the tough times.
Yeah.
But perhaps a very necessary one. How have you learned to ask yourself that very poignant question in a crisis?
This whole book, So What, Now What, it's based off a conversation that I had with a man, let's call him a mentor of mine. I called him and I was, you know, I just lost another job and, you know, a girl wasn't calling me back. I'd been divorced already and I was like, and he just said, so what, now what? I was like, I don't think you heard me, man. Like all this and then the other goes, yeah, I don't think you heard me. So what, now what? And I was really annoyed at him. I was really pissed off actually. But when I ask myself that question, it's a lot easier if I ask myself that question because they are the four most powerful words I know that can snap me out of whatever loop of pity that I am just, you know, running around in circles in and get me into action away from whatever it is that I'm annoyed at. Because, yeah, okay, here's this thing that I cannot change at all. I can be really upset about it, okay, but being really upset about it, annoyed at it and resentful at it, is that going to change how it feels? No, it's just going to make it worse. What's going to get me out of this feeling that I'm stuck in? Action, which direction? In accordance with the things that I value dearly. Okay, and what can that look like? It can look like going out the front door and going for a walk for 5 minutes. Not 10, not an hour, not, you know, filming your Strava and saying, I did just a 21K today at lunchtime. No, I'm going to go outside and walk for 5 minutes. And then tomorrow, maybe 10. And that's what it means to me. It's an easier question to ask yourself, which is why in a book it's an idea that's kind of a little easier to translate. Because if I was to ask it of you, you'd be pretty annoyed. And I do cover that in the book. You can hear the voice just go like, "What did you just say? What did you just? What did you call me?" Like it's fighting words, right? But when we ask it to ourselves, because we say worse things to ourselves than anyone's going to say to us. When we ask it of ourselves, we're able to snap up into that kind of higher brain we was talking about before and go, well, yeah, I can't actually, you know, make the Melbourne Storm beat Brisbane the other night. What can I do? Well, I can, you know, to do my part and, you know, try to bring some new plastic chairs to, you know, Storm HQ there in South Bank and hopefully Craig Bellamy can have some more chairs to kick around. That's what I can do, you know. Sorry, it's a rugby league and auto metaphors seems to always find their way into what I'm talking about.
No, I appreciate it. And I appreciate the answer as well too, because you are correct. I think if somebody posed that question or those two questions to me back to back when I'm in the chaos of that moment, my reaction would be quite negative to it. I'd feel like as if someone's sort of not really taking me super seriously, but like you said, when you ask yourself, it allows for that moment of introspection, which can be very important and getting the correct part of the brain to be working. But it also sounds like you're using it as a way to build different habits or different ways to react to it as well. So
absolutely.
Has that been something that you've employed throughout your...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's getting the thinking mind and the observing mind, getting the observing mind a little more involved. Okay. By asking that question and building into the habit of taking action, because things can feel horrible. All right. Really horrible. But It's the meaning we give those feelings which can decide how our day is going to go. All right. You could be, you know, stuck on the, I don't know, whatever that road is where you drive under Nick Cody's massive head on the way from the airport, but you can be stuck on that road, right? And you can be fuming at the traffic. But then if you understand that, oh, hang on, I am traffic. Mm. And we're all here.
Yep.
And how much can my fuming get me where I'm going faster? Not at all. Can I use this energy for something different? Yeah, I could probably use make a phone call, reach out to someone who might need a chat today. I could, you know, put on a really, really loud metal song and sing along. That's going to be okay. Like there's other things I can do with that energy that gets unleashed in that moment. And for me, that's where a lot of this started is how else can I use this energy that shows up? Because it can be a volcano in me, and I'm sure it's the same with you. Mm-hmm. But okay, great. How can I see this energy as a gift? How can I redirect this? And you need to take an action step in that point. Like what's something that I can do, which then I feel a little more in control. I might not be able to control the traffic, but I can control who I talk to right now. I can control how many breaths I take. I can control the music I listen to. I can turn on, you know, whatever audiobook and listen to Rick Rubin whisper to me about creativity, whatever. You know, I can do all kinds of things in that moment that will be more in alignment with the person I am.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense too. I think when we do think about it in terms of energy in particular, I think that really clicks with a lot of people. We suddenly find ourselves full of adrenaline and cortisol and not quite sure what to do with all of it. And obviously then it sort of tends to, you know, roll all over itself and become a snowball of even more emotion that's just, well, it's going to sit inside your body.
With noticing that. It starts with noticing, and which I cover in the book. It's just noticing it. And if we notice it, then very, very quickly we are insulating ourselves from making a choice or taking an action that is fueled by that adrenaline or cortisol or resentment. Mm. Something we might not be able to undo, something that might cause way more problems than we currently are experiencing.
Exactly.
We can think about it. We can go, oh, why I order? Yeah, sure. Think that. Think it all you like. And then notice, wasn't that interesting? I think violence is a great idea right now. It isn't. But look at that show up. There you go.
That's so true. I think sometimes taking that moment to just see, to observe all of it, is very helpful. But also the other thing that you're talking about with the taking action, you know, I've read a lot of books around anxiety in particular, and very often, you know, at least one layer of anxiety that we're experiencing, you know, comes from the fact that we are, in a sense, we feel like we don't have any control. It's coming from that place. So taking an action at least is redirecting some of the energy into something we can control. Like you said, whether it's putting on some music or taking a breath or observing the situation that you're in, that's such a good starting point.
Oh, we've got you and I and anybody listening to this right now is on a giant spinning ball of rock, water and ice hurtling through the universe so fast. And then the time it's taken me to say this sentence to you, we have all traveled the distance between Melbourne and Cairns, all right? A universe that our brains cannot contemplate that it doesn't end. Okay, we don't have the processing power to understand infinity. And this is where we live. And yet, because that car came into my lane without indicating, life or death, no, none of it matters.
That is so true. I like to remind myself of that as often as possible.
It's true.
Me getting out into nature and looking at all the other species and going, I'm just one of many.
We're in space right now. We are flying through space right now. It's amazing.
Yep. It's a wild ride we're all on, Osha. Welcome back to Brainwaves on 3CR. My name is Flick Manning. I'm your host, and with me is the one and only Osha Gunsberg.
Thank you very much. Here in the 3CR traffic chopper, I can see that things are pretty hard over there on that, you know, weird little bypass by the golf course on St Kilda Road, the one with the weird lane control. I don't know what's going on there, but a couple of blokes on bicycles will decide that this afternoon's a great afternoon for a group ride. Back to you.
Well, thank you, Osha. I didn't even know that we actually had a helicopter for traffic, but I'm so glad to hear
that. Drone.
Well, yeah, that's much more feasible.
Community radio.
Exactly. So we're here talking about your new book, So What, Now What? I'm very lucky to have a copy of it sitting in my hot little hand right now. And this book obviously has a mental health and mindset lens, and it's delivered obviously with illustrations by the incredible Struthless, as we mentioned before. But I really also am interested in some of the other aspects of the style in which you've delivered this book. It's quite fierce and quite comical for a self-development and mental health book. It's sort of like a little hybrid baby of your own design, which I really, really like. Why go for such strength, I guess, and comical aspects to a topic that most people would still consider very serious?
Because you got to laugh at stuff, you know? You got to laugh at stuff. The day, I spoke about it before, but the day that my brain broke, I called my mentor and I was, you know, I had plosive speech and everything. I was like, yeah, man, you got it. I was just blabbering, you know. And I said, something's really bad. He goes, you're lucky, pal. Crazy people don't know they're crazy, but you know something's up. You need a doctor. And it was hilarious. You know, in the middle of this moment where I'm experiencing visual delusions and weird auditory things and realities flicking in and out, I laughed because it's funny. It was funny. It was a good moment. It was funny. And you got to have a joke about stuff, right? Both my parents were doctors, and humor is a way that people have gotten through tough stuff since time began. Mm-hmm. And just because you might be experiencing something that's not your fault, it's just the way your brain came out, you might think, oh, it's really heavy. And because it's so heavy, you put such gravity on it, you can't really reach the escape velocity to do anything about it because you're too afraid to touch it. But if you joke about it, you're like, it's super funny to laugh at stuff that is very, very hard. There was a friend of mine who survived bowel cancer, and I called him up one day and he was filling out his wedding invitations. Like, how are you going, man? He goes, laughing my ass off every time I write the word save the date on these cards, because he had yet to have his surgery. And I thought, like, it's just like, you got to be able to laugh at it. You have to, because if you can laugh at it, you diffuse the power of it. And once you diffuse the power of it, then you can, which is why satire is amazing. This is why laughing at our leaders or people in power is really important, because once we laugh at it, we fracture the power that we've given it through solemnity. And, you know, when they're free to talk about stuff in a very matter-of-fact way. And that's really important. And that's why I think laughter is really important. But also on the other hand, you can't, because we didn't have a lot of words to play with. This was always going to be a very short book. Like I said earlier, you know, it's 64 pages of mental health memes. You got to kind of get to the point pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Very true. But I also appreciate that as well. I've been a big believer my whole life that if you can find levity in the dark, then you'll be okay. You'll find your way through. I think it's when you can't find the levity, that's when something's really wrong. That's when something's really, really bad. But if you can giggle at something, and often it does come up at the most seemingly, you know, inappropriate moments, I would just go, that's my nervous system doing its job. That's just the body stepping in and saying, we gotta let some gas out of this can. We've got to make this a little bit easier. And I love that your book sort of encapsulates that in its delivery and its style, but the message that underpins it is just really incredibly important. And as I said at the beginning, my teenage self would have loved to have had a copy of this book handed to me. I think it would have helped navigate my scenario so much easier, and I think a lot of people will find that when they grab a copy of your book too. So as we are about to wrap up the show, Osho, I can't believe this time has gone so quickly. Just wanted to ask you, for anyone listening that's feeling totally stuck or lost right now, what is one bit of wisdom you could share with them?
Just notice that you feel that way. Because the moment you notice it, then you get to sit beside it. It gets to be in the passenger seat and no longer holding the wheel. And you get to go, oh, look at you, stuck feeling. Oh, really? You're telling me that I can't go anywhere and nothing's going to happen and this relationship is over and my work's never going to promote me? Oh, there's interesting things there. Okie dokie there. Well, let's see if we can find some evidence for that. All right. And once we notice it, then we can, you know, some of it may be true. Some of it may be half true. Some of it, even if it is true, we're like, well, look at that. All right, well, what can I do about that now? It's no longer running the show. So just noticing it is pretty much the most important thing you can do.
Brilliant piece of advice. Thank you for that little bit of wisdom there, Osho. And, of course, thank you for taking the time to be so open and also just for actually creating this wonderful book. I know that our audience will appreciate it, and I'm encouraging all of you who are listening wherever you are right now, riding home in the car, you're on a tram, a train, whatever it may be, go out and get yourself a copy of So What, Now What. And of course, please leave a review. Reviews are very important to authors.
Yeah. We're actually doing a live show as well. So Strithless and I are going on the road and trying to do an audiobook about a graphic novel was very challenging, but we did it. We're also making a live show, and the main character of this book is a glove with a face on the palm. And so people listening, you won't know this, but behind me you can see this little – I've got a VR headset that I put on that thing. I've hacked a VR headset, and we'll be doing live 3D motion capture, puppeting these characters on the screen for the show. And I'm so excited to do something so technically wild. But yeah, we'll be coming to Melbourne. We're touring at the end of October.
Ooh, exciting. Okay, well, we will be posting links to all of Osh's websites and socials. So make sure that you, as I said, get a copy of the book, leave a review, come to the live show, support, 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 as I know that you will, beautiful Brainwaves audience. Now, of course, my final reminder to each and every one of us is that our mental health is of equal importance to our physical health. So if you're yet to align them together today or to recognize both, now is your opportunity. Take a nice big inhale, a lovely deep exhale. And then remember to shower yourself in the kindness that you so easily give to others. I'm Flick Manning, and I look forward to chatting to you next time on Brainwaves.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.